Thank you, Brother Johnson. Well, we had a good day already. It's funny how our thoughts as Christians tend to flow together. You know, our lesson this morning in class has a whole lot to do with what I want to talk about. And Brother Johnson, you know, kind of does too. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I think there's only one word, and we all draw the truths that we get out of that. But in class this morning, the question was raised, why do Christians know and not do? And that's not exactly what I want to talk about this morning, but it kind of is. What I want to talk about is ambassadors need to think like God. And I guess I'll issue a qualifier before I get started. Now, I understand that none of us will ever think exactly like God. God thinks on a level and exists on a level that we can't even approach. It's beyond our imagination. I'm not suggesting that we can think like that. But what I would suggest is if you read Philippians, the second chapter, verse 5, but really the whole chapter, we can have the mind of Christ. So there is some level in which we can think like Christ. And so if we can think like Christ, then we're going to be thinking like God, at least at the level where we're at. And that's what I aspire to do. Sometimes when I'm driving, I'll see a big yellow sign with one word on it. The word says caution. And when I see that, right away I know. The color and the word, right away that tells me that I'm being issued a warning. I need to be watching out. There's potential danger somewhere. I need to pay attention. Now, if I just completely disregard the sign, pay no attention to it whatsoever, and as a result of my negligence, I end up in an accident, most of you and most people are going to say, well, what did you expect, right? What, you ignored the warning. You had your warning. I'm not going to get a whole lot of sympathy from people. Now, my intention this morning is to issue a sign to you, a caution sign, but it's not mine. Sign doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God. And a sign comes from God. Many, many Christians believe that they think like God. They believe that. Now, we talked this morning about believing, and believing is not always going to get it done, is it? There needs to be a little more than believing going on there. But a lot of us believe that we think like God, but in reality, we simply do not. Being baptized into Christ, I don't in any way want to diminish that. It's absolutely essential to one's salvation, being baptized into the body. But what some people think is reality is not. Being baptized into the Lord doesn't automatically and magically cause us just to immediately then begin to think like God thinks. It doesn't work like that. And just because a person, I'm talking about us when I say a person, right? Just because we attend worship services and listen to the preacher, and we should do that, and follow directions of the elders, these things do not guarantee that we will think like God. Thinking like God involves a whole lot more than these basic things like baptism and attending worship and listening. Now, I don't want to diminish that again. Listening to the preacher and the elders and that, I think these are important. But when you listen to the preacher, how do you know what he says is the truth? If you listen to the preacher and you apply what he says and it is the truth and it's from God's word, then yes, it can benefit you. But some of us don't listen to the preacher very much. I mean, I know he's up here and we're looking at him And I know you can tell as a preacher sometimes, you see those eyes, you know, with the little pinpoints in them, right? And you know, yeah, they're here, but they're not. They're not really here, right? And so, you know, but listening to the preacher can be of benefit, but we need to be careful. Same is true for the elders. Now, I recall an incident from the New Testament when the apostles were traveling, and before they reached their destination, they had an argument. And their argument was about, and this is so typical, I think, of Christians, but their argument was about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom when Jesus ruled his kingdom. Are you listening to that? Now, we're not like that, right? We don't think that way. But when they reached their destination now Jesus was with them, right? Jesus asked them what they had been discussing. And they didn't respond to Jesus because, you know, Jesus had already talked to them about this before. He had already told them that in his kingdom, the path to greatness was a path to servitude. Now, what was the problem here? Well, that's not what they wanted to believe. That's the truth. Jesus had already told them that, but it's kind of like us. We believe what the preacher says if we like it. It doesn't necessarily have to even be in God's Word, but if we like it, we believe it. But if we don't, what? Servitude? I have to be a servant? No. Servitude, see, is a matter of behavior. And that's always a problem for people, isn't it? A matter of behavior. It's not a matter of words. I like words. I like to say, well, I believe I'm okay, right? You believe you're okay. What are you doing? That's what came out in class this morning, right? What's your behavior like? You know, the natural man, the way we're born, that's the natural man, right? Does not want to be a servant.
That's right.
We all have to fight that. I don't naturally want to serve you or anybody else.
Amen.
It's not in me. It has to come from God for me to have that kind of a desire to serve. I want to be served. Don't you?
Yeah.
Man, what a dream to win the lotto and be able to pay somebody to do all of my work, right? I want to be served, right? That's the way the natural man thinks. However, Jesus said that greatness in his kingdom is achieved by serving. Brother Johnson, Matthew 25, he brought that out, right? Service, helping others, doing things that help others. We must listen to God, listen, before we can ever begin to think like he thinks. And even then, like I said, I mentioned the qualifier in the beginning. Even then, we're not really going to exactly think like God, but we can, at least on the level that Christ did as a human being, we can have his mind, can't we? And it seemed pretty good for Christ. It worked out pretty well for him. He didn't sin. I think he didn't sin because even as a man, he was thinking like his father. We can imitate his thinking.
That's right.
Even Christ's thinking we're going to come short, but we can imitate that. We can look like Christ to a degree, right? To save us now, our own God, the all-powerful God in heaven, he served. Did you know that? God served mankind.
Amen.
It was his desire to do that. That's the only way we could have grace and mercy and compassion is because God serves that to us. As our Savior, Jesus served too.
That's right.
He served all the way to the cross.
Amen.
The 12 apostles, they became our servants. The recording we have of God's Word, the things that they wrote and the acts that they did through the New Testament, was the Holy Spirit working through them as they served. Just as Jesus was about to give his life in John 17, I think starting with verse 20 or so, maybe through 23, But as the ultimate sacrifice, he was about to give his life. The act of servitude is the ultimate. He prayed. And this comes back to what we've been talking about all day, it seems. He prayed for what? Oneness. And this is, remember this one. This is probably where the center of the lesson is. Oneness. Christ prayed that we be one. One in Him. All who believe to be one. He not only prayed for our oneness as believers, but that our oneness would reflect the oneness that He had with His Father. That's how He did it. Some people say, well, He was God. Yeah, He was God, but He lived as a human being here, and He was able to think like His Father even as He was a human because His Father lived in Him. He set the example. That's why He didn't sin. His prayer was that He be so thoroughly in us, that we would reflect His presence in the oneness that we share with one another. It is by sharing this oneness that we can influence the world to believe. And three things now, it's really more than that, but time limits me. Number one, we need to believe and influence the world to believe that God sent Jesus to this earth as His Son. Amen. And number two, that God loves those who follow Jesus in a special way. See, I know we read that God so loved the world, and He did. He sent His Son to die for the world. But He loves His children in a special way. We have a covenant and a relation to Him that not everybody has. You have to give in to Him. You have to be His to have that. And number three, that God loved Jesus even as He allowed Him to die on the cross. We have a difficult time if we get a flat tire when we're going somewhere, right? We're being so, tried. What a trial we have to go through. Well, where's God now? You know, I'm going to be late for this. This was important. Well, where was God when Jesus hung on the cross? Jesus didn't have a problem with it. I mean, He did. He did. Remember the garden? But He did it, didn't He? He went through with it, and He hung on that cross, and He knew. He didn't have any doubt that His Father loved Him, and He loves us too. Jesus taught and showed us that oneness can exist even when there are great differences among us. And this is what we need to get into our heads. You know, we've been really slow to learn this, that we can be different and still be one in Christ. Jesus was flesh, was He not? And He could, and He did die. Jesus was temptable. He was tempted, perhaps the greatest, and I think it was the greatest, was in the garden. He was tempted. Jesus suffered. And Jesus knew physical pain. Jesus experienced human emotions. Amen. But you know what? None of these things were true of His Father. We say, well, they were one. Yeah, they were one, but they were different. Jesus as a man, as a human man, Jesus was different from His Father, but they were one. What about us? I'm looking around. There ain't two of you that look the same. Some of us are related, so we look a little bit alike. But we're not the same, are we? But we're one. We must be one. That's what Jesus prayed for. And that's what Jesus wanted in His children. As different as Jesus, the human, was from His Father, they were one. We struggle with each other because we don't agree. We don't agree on every detail about everything, do we? I know we don't. And so we struggle with that. And we fight and we fuss. In Jesus and God's value system, oneness ranks very high on the list. Jesus was really concerned about it. But I wonder how important it is to us. Where does it rank on our value system? Or do we reason, as distorted as this might sound, do we reason that to preserve unity that we need to divide and put me in control? I'll keep you united, just follow me. Really? Do we really know how to think like God thinks? Do we even know how to emulate His thinking? Allowing God to teach us how to think is huge. It's a never-ending challenge if we aspire to reach spiritual maturity. It takes courage and it takes sacrifice to allow God to change our thinking. But when we allow that to happen, then we become behavior-centered in our lives. Behavior-centered, not word-centered. I don't need to hear you say, I believe. You know, I need to see that you believe.
That's right.
Right? And that's us. That's just within the church here. You will help me if I can see that you believe. You will encourage me. Well, that's just here. What about out there in the world? They look at us and they hear we believe and they hear us telling them that they need to believe too. And then they look at us and they don't see any difference. You say you believe, I say I don't. And look at the two of us. We're not any different. You know what? They're right. They're right. And until they see a difference, we're not going to convert the world. It is more than what we say is right. Talking is good. The gospel is words, you know. Words are powerful, but it's got to be backed up by our behavior. It is allowing the conviction that we hold. If you really are convicted, if you really do hold a conviction, it's allowing that to become the behavior that we practice. Now, like I say, that's about one quarter of the lesson that I wanted to preach. But, you know, if you only, and I went 15 or about. No, that's okay. We'll let Stanley come up. I'm looking forward to see what he has to say, and I thank you for your attention.